man, that was forget about it. I gotta brag on the drama team a little bit because they got this skit 2 days ago. The majority of it is improv. So I just give you guys an extra hand, man. You guys did a great job. It's just amazing. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Dave. I'm one half of the youth team here. My beautiful wife, Jet, Pastor Jet, she is the better half of me. She leads worship and she also helps with youth. Yeah, thank you. We've been married for 10 years now, and it's been the best 10 years of my life, literally, because the rest of my life I actually don't remember. But I'm excited. I'm excited to be a part of Youth Sunday, and I'm excited to be a part of this youth ministry. It's a little more than 3 years ago, Pastor Jet and I were called out to Florida. Pastor Rob has told you guys the story where, you know, he went into the back, and within 3 seconds, the Lord spoke and said, "These are the people that'll run with you." And I'm so humbled to be here. It's exciting for me because it's not for anything other than the idea that God is active here in this church and in this county. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do in this community through the youth. A lot of these youth, as Pastor Jet mentioned before, they were kind of they're kind of afraid. It was like watching the children of Israel trying to go into the land with the giants, and they're just like, "We're gnats. We're insects. We're lower than insects." And it was interesting because seeing that then to looking at them now. They're on stage. They're praying over people. They're laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. They're seeing God actively move in real time. And that's exciting for me because it's like, look, I always tell the kids, like, look, I don't care if you remember my name. Just remember what the Lord has spoken to you. Write it down, because when you are out amongst the people, you'll remember God's goodness. And his spirit will bring the stuff that's inside of you to the top. You'll begin to make connections that you didn't think that you'd ever make. And people will begin to make connections when you preach or when you share. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm extremely excited about tag teaming with Jacob today. We had some time to kind of talk and just go over what it is that we were going to share this morning. And I want to put something in a framework for you guys. Jacob is going to be preaching out of John 6, and actually I'm going to go ahead and share the context of that. Andrew, if you want to bring that up so they can see it starting in verse 1. There's something interesting about John, because if you've noticed that the book is so different than the other three Gospels. It's so incredibly different because the first three Gospels deal with Jesus as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies and salvation. But the Gospel of John actually deals with who Jesus is, was, and will continue to be. He was there from the beginning, especially if you open the book, the very first thing that says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." And then you begin to dig, and you realize that Jesus is the Word made flesh. And it's exciting when you go through John 6. It's actually one of my favorite books because it speaks to an overall theme of God's goodness. His goodness and mercy that encircles everything, your previous life, your life with him, and the life to come. So let's start off with verse 1. "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. I want to point something out. There's 2 things. The goodness of God begins in the beginning, and it continues all the way through eternity. And you see it active in this book in the very beginning, because Jesus has called the people to a place. He was actually withdrawing with the disciples to sit down and to minister with them. And it said that the multitude was so excited by his miracles of healing the diseased and the sick that they followed him. They couldn't stand to be away from his presence, and they went after him. And Jesus moved with compassion, because compassion encircles mercy. Yeah. They went after him, and Jesus said, let's feed him. But it was the biggest thing about this was the idea that communion was being shown to the disciples and to the world one of the very first times before it was actually going to happen on the day of Passover. See, Passover was about to take place, and Jesus showed himself as the bread of life. You read off in the chapter, in chapter 6, verse 35, it said he calls himself, I am the bread of life. So before his disciples, he breaks the bread, and then he gives them to those who are following him. And then the disciples, in turn, learning his example, turn around and go feed the lost, the hungry, the diseased, and the broken. That's something that stuck out to me that grabbed my heart. Because the idea that God would have this plan, that everything that he does is done for a reason and a purpose. Everything that he does means something. Everything that's in the Word means something. It's there for you and for me. And you get to see God's goodness as he begins to show the people how to minister to each other. Because as we have been forgiven much, we also learn from that example to forgive much. So without further ado, I'm going to call my brother up here. This is Jacob Thomas. He is an aspiring evangelist preacher. And I'm excited about him sharing what he's going to share, because there's a heavy call of God on his life. There is a prophetic call of God on his life, and wherever he goes, you can tell that the Word is in him, and it just begins to bubble out, and it just comes out wherever he goes. And it's amazing. It's like the overflow of his ministry begins to pour out into other people, and other people get filled, and then other people continue to get filled, and it's just like a ladder, like a spread effect. But Jacob, if you want to come on up here, man, if you would give him a round of applause.
God is so good. Good preaching. So I'm Jacob.
Hi,
Jacob. Hi. Ignore that, please. Okay. So the Lord was speaking to me during worship last service, and he brought up a memory in my mind that I wanted to share with you guys. When I was in high school, I'm still in high school. When I was in ninth grade, when I was a freshman, I tried out for the soccer team at Citrus High School. And I made the team, but it was either JV or varsity. And the coach really wanted me to be on varsity. And he really pushed that on me. And he's, you know, I really want you to be on varsity. And I didn't want to because I wanted to be with my friends. And there was no reason to because I really wasn't that good at the moment. I had just really gotten into a stage where I started to practice more and try to develop more in the sport. And I really wasn't at the stage where I should have been on a varsity team. But for some reason, he felt the call to ask me to be on the team. And I was at war with myself, and I began to get alone and worship the Lord and pray. And God spoke to me, and he wanted me to be on the varsity team. So I was like, okay, Lord. So I go on the varsity team, and for the first half of the season, I'm not playing, not even going in for most of the games. And I'm kind of upset about that. And one day I'm sitting on the bench, and it's a cold night, and the game's going. And the Lord speaks to me, and he says, why don't you just ask? So I stop what I'm doing, and I start to pray. And I'm like, Lord, just let me touch, just let me step on the field. That's all I want. So next thing you know, as soon as I'm done praying, coach comes over and he says, hey, I need you to sub out for one of the starters. So I sub out and I step on the field. And as soon as I step on the field, like 20 seconds later, the game ends. And I'm like, well, I'm thankful I got to go on. But, you know, God's like, that's what you asked. So next game, maybe I should ask for more. So I asked the Lord, I said, can I just score? And I remember it was like a minute left in the game, and coach calls me up, and he wants me to sub out for one of the seniors again, and I'm like, I'm so humbled about this, and I step in, and as soon as I step in, I score, and it was amazing. God came through once again, and he let me exactly what I asked. That's what he did for me. Next game comes, and I'm getting a little zealous now, and I'm like, oh, man, God's moving. And next game comes, and play in the Villages, and I ask the Lord, I'm like, just let me score, and I come on, and I score two goals. So it's like, once God keeps answering my prayers, and I realized that I needed to ask and not sit there. And it's funny, we get ourselves in these situations, and we sit there and we take it as if God's purpose is for us to always be in harm's way or to always be low or to always be in the pit. But he wants us to ask, and he's going to provide for us, and we'll receive. Yeah. Thought I should share that. Okay, back to what I'm going to say now. Reading the sixth chapter of John and looking at this story with Jesus feeding the 5,000, it's an amazing story, an amazing miracle. It's actually one of the only miracles other than the resurrection that's spoken about in all four Gospels. And something that stood out to me, one of the first things was in the book of Mark, it has this story, and it says that Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw these people. He was on the mountain with his disciples, and he looks out and he sees this multitude, and it says that he had compassion on them. The reason why? Because they were like sheep scattered abroad without a shepherd. And it spoke to me because I realized that's the state of not just the people who haven't accepted him, but those who even have. And we've turned from the shepherd. If you see what a sheep does, the shepherd guides him. Has the rod, I believe. And he guides the sheep. And the sheep begin to wander, he guides them back. But without the shepherd, you're all over the place. You begin to do stuff that you normally wouldn't do. You know, we weren't intended for sin. We weren't supposed to sin. We were supposed to be perfect with God. But we ended up sinning, Adam and Eve, and now sin comes in the world, and now we're scattered abroad. And he could see that in these people. And the Bible says he was driven by compassion. He began to heal them and teach them the kingdom of God. Another thing that stuck out to me was verse 11. It says that they were given as much as they wanted. Jesus breaks the bread. He gives it to his disciples. His disciples, in turn, give it to all the people. And they're given as much bread as they wanted. And it really spoke to me because I saw the bread as God's grace and him giving it out. And you could have as much grace as you want. God's grace does not run out in your life. It's never ending. And it's something that really spoke to me. Another thing that I saw was, it says in verse 12, so when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. But it says they were filled. And that word really jumped out to me. And I began to explore into it. And I found out that the Greek word for filled is cortazo. You guys want to say it? Cortazo. Say cortazo. 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 It means to fill or to satisfy the desire of anyone. And I began to see that this was symbolic in this because his body that was broken, this bread that was broken, he was giving out to his disciples and they were giving it out to all the people. And it was satisfying. His body is satisfying to you and to your soul and for your saving. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, "My grace," this is Jesus speaking, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And I read that verse 1,000 times, and when I see it, I'm like, well, it says, you know, his strength is made perfect in weakness, and, you know, when we're weak, we're strong, and when we're sick, he heals us. But there's a deeper meaning than that, because it talks about God's grace being sufficient. It attributes sufficiency to his grace. Now, what is sufficient? And when I see sufficient, I see something that doesn't wear away, that doesn't draw thin, that continues. And I see that his grace is with you always. And something that has stuck out too was when you were saved, you were shown grace, right? And pastor, if I were to ask you this time, you have to be here for first service to get that. Okay. If I were to ask you now, did you ever sin after you got saved?
Yes.
Pastor Dave, did you ever commit a sin after you got saved? Yes. Which shows that once you were saved, you were shown grace. But our mindset and what the devil has done, he's twisted grace and he's made it this thing where it's only available when you get saved. But then afterwards you sin though, so that means there's no more grace though. You have to have more grace. But I thought it was only available when you got saved. But right here in the Bible, God talks about his grace and he attributes it to being sufficient, which means it never wears away and it's always there. No matter what you've done, because you're bound to make a mistake after you accept him, his grace is sufficient. It's with you always. I also wanted to share something the Lord put on my heart during worship and first service, and it was a story I had been reading for a few weeks now, and it's 2 chapters over in chapter 8 of the book of John. And you see it, Jesus goes up to the Mount of Olives, and the scriptures show that he was praying. And he comes back down and he goes into the temple in the day and he begins to teach the people. And as he's teaching, the Pharisees come to him with this woman and they throw her in the midst and they bring an accusation against her. They say, "This woman was caught in adultery," in the very act. "And Moses in the law commands us that we should stone this person. What do you say, Jesus?" Jesus begins to write in the dirt as if he didn't even hear them, which shows me something about Jesus. The spirit of the advocate is quick to listen and slow to speak. And he begins to write in the dirt. And the Bible says when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he says to them, "He who's without sin among you, cast the first stone." And when he says it, the Bible says that they were convicted by their conscience and they started leaving out, starting with the oldest, even to the youngest. And what I want to focus on is the three things that he says to her. And I see this as an identifier because it shows that grace is an identifier in your life. Look what he says to her. He says to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no man condemned you?" And she says, "No man, Lord." Then he says, "Neither do I condemn you." Third thing he says, "Go and sin no more." You are identified by grace. And what I want to point out here is that her accusers left, which identifies you as the one whose accusers fled. It identifies you as the one whom God doesn't condemn. And it identifies you not by your sin. See, he says to her, this is my favorite point, point three, "Go and sin no more." And I don't believe he was just implying to her, "Go and try not to sin." Yeah. I believe there is a deeper calling in this, a deeper meaning in this. He was saying, "Go and sin no more," as identifying her and saying, "Go, you're not going to sin anymore." Yeah. And he's proclaiming over her life and over all of your lives, everybody's lives, that you're not identified by your sin, but you are identified by the blood of Jesus. So when God looks at you, he does not see you as the adulterous woman. He does not see you as the sinful man. He does not see you as a leper. But he sees you in his eyes of grace, and he sees you by his blood. Something else I wanted to point out. The Bible attributes God to being the gracious one. And it was something that he spoke to me about as well as we were worshiping in this service. And I believe God wants me to share this with you guys. It calls him the gracious one, which means one is who he is, that's the noun, and gracious is the adjective describing the noun. So that means it's describing God, which means that's his character, that's who he is. He is a gracious person. Many of us, and I've seen this as well, many of us think of God as, in his grace, we pick up, you know, he picks up this clay of grace, he molds it together, and he gives it out to you, and that's how he gives his grace. But no, he is grace, which means he has to take part of himself away and give it to you. Yeah. That's who he is. He does not find grace. He is grace, and he gives himself, his grace, away to you. If you could all bow your heads real quick. It's been a short time, but I feel like God said so much stuff to us, spoken to me, stuff I didn't even write down. Gosh. Some of you today, you might have come here and maybe you've never even heard this message, or maybe you've heard it, but it wasn't clear. But today, God began to break those scales off, and now you begin to see the truth. Maybe today you haven't accepted Him. Maybe you want to call Him Abba, Father. Maybe you want to be able to proclaim that He is your gracious one. And I want to give everybody an opportunity in this room to be able to accept Jesus as their Savior, because it is a free gift. You don't have to pay a single thing, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do to earn it at all. It's free. So if you all could just pray this out with me as I pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day, God. This day of atonement. Lord, I recognize that my sin has separated me from You. Lord, I recognize that there is a payment for my sin. And it was Your own Son's blood. I accept this gift. This free gift. This amazing gift. Come into my life. Change me. Rearrange me. And use me for Your glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Amen. Well, if this is your first time here, you should hear the senior pastor. Amazing. Praise God. We teach him everything he knows. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't it been so awesome to see what God's doing in our young people? Praise God. Amen. You guys come on up here. Just my youth pastors. The two youth pastors. You know, they're reproducing themselves, and they have all this good fruit. The Bible says a tree is known by its fruit, and you see all the fruit that's coming forth of their life, because they're the people that God chose to come to this community at this time. He prepared them. You know, their whole life, all the stuff that they went through and the struggles and how they sought God and the things they didn't understand in the dark, and they had this desire in their heart to minister. And you know, Dave was cooking, you know, he's working in the middle of the night, you know, and Jet was doing everything she could in a struggling ministering to refugee kids from Nepal. And then the day came that their lives changed and the Lord opened the door for what He had been preparing for them to come and walk in, because there were young people in this community that God wanted to reach and touch and disciple. So He prepared them and sent them as ministry gifts into this community to love on the kids and to pour into the next generation. Isn't that so awesome? Praise God. Could you give them a nice round of applause? We are so grateful for them and the work that they're doing, and they're just truly, truly such a blessing to this community. Yes. Amen. How many jump like this? Who knows? You're at the chiropractor. What happened? I got hurt in church. Doesn't make any sense. Praise God. I want to remind all the ushers there, we have a luncheon and a meeting, and so that'll be in the back in the youth room. So we've got a whole barbecue spread for you. I know some of you are thinking right now, I should have been an usher. And all I can say is, yes, you should have been, because we're going to eat so well. It's been so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. So awesome to see what God's doing in the next generation and all these young people. You know, it's just it's such a blessing to be around them. And we're just so happy. So, you know, Youth Sunday, we go ahead and we do Youth Sunday, you know, here and there as we're led, probably 4 or 5 times a year we do Youth Sunday. And I do want to point out, actually, could you come over here for a second, Pastor Bryant? Just kind of see if you can unplug and come on over here for a second, because I'm really excited about another young couple that you guys know of. And Pastor Brian and his wife Patience officially come on January 2nd as our family life pastors. And all that you see, all that you see, all the fruit with the youth, this is what's going to happen with the children now too. Okay, we got the right people, you know, husband and wife team. It's the same thing. The Lord spoke. You know, I wanted somebody that had high energy, and, you know, and I think I found the guy. Praise God. Amen. But, you know, they have been, they don't start officially to January 2nd, but he has been already doing so much work. They came up with a name, a logo, they're doing construction project, they're building a stage in there. I mean, he's just exploding with vision. I mean, they don't even start yet, and they've just been doing so much work, and they're just, it's just in their heart to reach our kids. And I want you to know that's the next step, is we're just really excited about what you see happening here. Within the year, we probably have a children's Sunday, and the little kids will be doing the same type of stuff. And so, you know, they he and Patience are musicians, and so they're able to bring that element into the little kids. So we're really, really excited about that and what God's doing, because we know that the mandate on this house is to reach the next generation with the love of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Here's what I did. How many have been to the property? You've been by the property. You know where it is over there. Okay. So I set him up when I knew I wanted him, right? I was over there working on the property. I was cleaning a path so people could come pray. And I wanted him in patience so badly. But I thought, you know, he's got the business. They're not going to come, blah, blah, blah. And I was over there and the Lord whispered to me and he said, ask them. And so I knew at that moment that they were God's people. And so I said, hey, can you come out? I want to talk to you for a little bit. And I set him up. I brought him to the land. And I said, walk this property with me. And then we stopped and stared at the elementary school. And I said, can you just imagine with me the families that just go in and out of that place and how blessed it would be to be the family life pastor of this work right here? And then, you know, I set him up. Can you show the church? Show the picture. This is the church we're going to be building there. Praise Jesus. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? All right, hey, we love you guys so much. Ushers, stay. Everyone else, fellowship, and until Shannon kicks you out. God bless you. See you Wednesday.